Welcome to History Gnomes, where we retell Philippine history
one enigma at a time.
Time. My spirit animal is Grey Goose. PX. I'm PX. Yeah.
And I am that umbrella in your Cuba Libre. Pointless, but pretty. My name is Burn.
Guys.
Welcome back to another episode.
Kung may gusto mag-send ng words of affirmation kay Burn, yung Twitter profile niya po ay...
No! I don't need your validation. Anyway, this is gonna be a very timely episode because this is the day after.
The day after.
Yeah, 22nd, and it's the day after Ninoy Aquino Day, which is August 21st. And obviously, I'm gonna be talking about Ninoy Aquino.
Oh.
Yeah.
If it's not obvious.
Yeah, this is Ninoy Aquino's final journey. And it's gonna be as told by Ken Kashiwahara. Ken Kashiwahara is an ABC news journalist from the US who was with Ninoy during the whole time from the US going back to the Philippines. And apparently, Ken Kashiwahara is Ninoy Aquino's brother-in-law. Asawa siya ni Lupita Kashiwahara. Who is a film director. I think some of our listeners would probably know who Lupita Kashiwahara is.
Some of our listeners will know. So,
yeah, but we're not going to be talking about her. We're going to be talking about Ken Kashiwahara's... he wrote something, Ninoy's Final Journey. Okay, so let's start. I'm going to read this word for word as he wrote it. Okay. So, okay. So, we start with... as China Airlines Flight 811 entered Philippine airspace, the scene captured the history of the moment. Below, the landscape lush, green, fertile, full of promise. Above, scattered puffs of white clouds surrounded by rays of sunshine full of hope. Seated next to me, Ninoy Aquino, head bowed, lips moving in silent prayer, fingers caressing rosary beads, at peace with his God, and prepared for his mission of peace. Ninoy was exhausted, physically and mentally. He was the most extraordinary man I had ever met, but he was still a man, subject to the pains and sufferings of human emotions. Only, he was better at handling them than most of us. 30 years ago, August 21, 1983, one man's courage confronted the cowardice of a dictatorship and changed the course of Philippine history. The Philippines gained a martyr. We, the Aquino family, lost a brother, a father, a husband. A single bullet signaled the beginning of the end of tyranny. Key. Yun yung intro niya, diba? So...
what do I feel?
You'll feel later. Anyway, moving on, he said, 4 months earlier, the Philippines' most famous political prisoner had dedicated to end his self-imposed exile in Boston and returned to the Philippines to seek nothing less than a return to democracy for his country and national reconciliation for his people. It was a bold decision, inherently risky. For 3 years, he had been free from the shackles of oppression, from the pains of confinement, free to speak and criticize without fear of punishment. But his country came first. He put aside his personal concerns for what turned out to be his not-so-impossible dream. What followed was a battle of nerves with Ferdinand Marcos firing all the salvos. Originally, Ninoy had planned to go home openly. His children, Noynoy and Chris, were scheduled to come with us. After all, what more basic right does a citizen have than to set foot in his own country? But the government refused to issue Ninoy a passport. He then tried intimidation. But the government refused to issue Ninoy a passport, then tried intimidation by announcing a bogus assassination plot against him. They were determined to keep him away, and he was equally determined to succeed. Side note ko lang dito ha. Ninoy was visited by Imelda Marcos when he was in the US. I think 3 times. Imelda was trying to convince him not to come home kasi meron daw assassination plots against him. Prior to this whole thing, Ninoy Aquino was charged, well, trumped up charges ng murder, legal possession of firearms, tsaka sedition, which are not true.
Murder for what?
I have no idea. Pero siya kasi yung staunch kalaban ni Marcos. So, you know, they tried to silence him. So, ayun nga. Parang ang sinabi ni Imelda sa kanya na the assassination plot is dun daw sa mga victims, yung mga napatay. Which, Ninoy said, it's not true kasi wala akong pinatay. So, bakit nila ako? Yeah, what's the point? Diba? So, he declined, politely declined Imelda's offer. He was offered, by the way, ng positions, riches, and stuff. So, he declined all that. They're rich, by the way, so why? Anyway. So, yun. We explored every possible route. Air France through the Middle East, Korea Airlines through Seoul, Japan Airlines through Tokyo, China Airlines through Taipei. We became paranoid about secrecy, not wanting Marcos to learn when and how he was arriving. We assumed our phones were tapped and we developed codes. Air France became the long route. Korean Airlines became the 17-year-old route, since Ninoy had served as a 17-year-old correspondent during the Korean War. Would government agents try to kidnap him along the way? Each official pronouncement and rumor prompted speculation about what it really meant. First, government contacts suggested Ninoy would not be re-imprisoned if he returned. Then, they reinstated his death sentence. There was an announcement that Marcos was going into seclusion, a rumor that he was undergoing surgery, speculation that a hit squad was being sent to the United States. The emotional strain was intense. The pressure on me. The pressure on Ninoy to abandon his homecoming continued to the end. Despite the secrecy, he was recognized at the Singapore airport, where he had gone to a brief Southeast Asian leaders he had known. In Taipei, the immigration officer questioned the passport of this man named Marshall Bonifacio, the name Ninoy chose for his fake passport. You know why Marshall Bonifacio?
Well, Bonifacio is obvious, right?
What?
Bonifacio is obvious, right? Bakit Bonifacio? Or hindi?
Marshall for martial law, and Bonifacio was where he was imprisoned, Fort Bonifacio.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So I think he was there for 7 years. Yeah, so that was
what if meron talaga somebody out there na named Marshall Bonifacio? Whoever you are.
Yeah, that's where your name came from. Anyway, moving on. That was the name for his fake passport. Moving on. Ken Kashiwahara said, at Taipei's Grand Hotel where he stayed, he received a phone call from a Taiwanese friend. China Airlines, the official carrier, had discovered he was in town. Would the Taiwan government try to pick him up or stop him at the airport? He took a chance, contacting the government through back channels. The official answer, we have never heard of Ninoy Aquino and we do not know if he is in Taiwan. Taiwan would not stop him. The journey would continue. It's interesting to note, kasi this time, the Philippines did not have a diplomatic relation with Taiwan. And, but they have a diplomatic relation with Beijing. So,
it's... Parang Taiwan is good.
Yeah, parang I'm pretty sure Taiwan recognized him, but they denied that he was there to keep the secrecy.
Diba? Parang Taiwan is that parang
good boy Taiwan.
#hashtag good boy Taiwan.
Anyway, moving on. That night, Saturday, August 20th, after all the reporters had left the room, Ninoy was subdued. Another rumor had surfaced that he might be hit at the airport when he landed, another that the plane would be turned around, but they were just more rumors. That night, his last, Ninoy finally went to bed about 12:30, exhausted. He lay face down on his bed, hands outstretched, fingering his rosary beads and praying. You know, he said, I'm so tired, maybe it's better if they take me straight to prison so I can rest for a while. Even with all the talk of assassination, Ninoy remained the perennial optimist, still hoping that he might be placed under house arrest. He slept only about 4 hours. Up by 5 a.m. Sunday, he prayed his rosary again and called Corey in Boston. She read the Bible to him. He spoke briefly with his children and cried, then wrote each of them a letter. But by the time we sat down for breakfast, Ninoy was his usual ebullient self, both excited and anxious about finally going home. He was wearing his favorite white suit with a BSA, or Benigno S. Aquino Jr. Yeah.
Aquino.
Patch. There's a patch on the front pocket. He ate his eggs chopped up and mixed with ketchup, which I said looked nauseating. Ken Kashiwahara said that it was disgusting. That was his words.
Film kids.
Which is funny because Ken Kashiwahara is Japanese and di ba may ketchup ang ano?
No, Filipino thing lang.
Di ba kinaketchup ang yung okonomiyaki?
Parang hindi. It's a different sauce. Okonomiyaki.
Oh yeah, oh nga pala. Yeah, it's a different sauce.
Hindi, ibang sauce yun. Okonomiyaki.
And teriyaki? No, na ano.
Basta ibang sauce. Pero Filipino kids lang talaga yung maglalagay ng ketchup everywhere. Pati sa hotdog, pati sa sinangag, pati sa itlog.
Yeah, so that's what Ninoy did. Chopped up his eggs, mixed them with ketchup. He laughed and kept on eating, thoroughly enjoying every bite. We joked that perhaps we should handcuff ourselves together when we landed in Manila. He was very upbeat, but he reflected on his life too, saying one regret he had was that Corey had to suffer so much during the frequent absences required by his political life. And he regretted having to say no to his daughter, Chris, when she asked to come with us. At the same time, Ninoy was anxious because... What?
Wala, parang, shit, imagine if Chris was there.
Yeah, she was very, very young.
How old was Chris?
I forgot. Pero, during the time that he was incarcerated in Fort Bonifacio, Chris was like 2 years old.
So maybe six?
So that was 7 years na nakakulong siya doon.
Nine.
Yeah, maybe she was nine that time. Pabalik na si Ninoy. Anyway, At the same time, Nino was anxious because there was still a chance he would be stopped at the Taipei airport. Indeed, when we got there, he was met by the Taiwan garrison commander. I feared he was being detained, but was relieved when the general simply wished him a safe journey. But after the encounter, we both knew that Marcos officials had pinpointed his flight and time of arrival. Clearly, he would be met in Manila and taken back to prison in Fort Bonifacio. Or so I thought. On the plane, the journalists created a huge commotion, trying to photograph and interview Ninoy. I finally got him to move to the back of the plane, which was empty. One of the pictures they took now is on the 500 peso bill. At one point, I looked back and saw Ninoy gazing downward, very pensive, posing for a photographer. I went to see what serious matter he was reading. It was the menu. We laughed. Neither of us ate lunch that day. Too nervous. At another point, I turned to say something to him, and he was deep in prayer. Throughout the flight, there was still a chance that the plane would be turned back, and Ninoy said it would be a victory if we just landed. So when China Airlines plane touched down in Manila, he breathed a sigh of relief. Wait, let me drink. Well, yeah. I turned to him and said, "Noy, you're home." He had a big smile. As we taxied to the terminal.
No.
Well, that's Ninoy.
Ayoko ituloy may kwento. Alam ko kung ano mangyayari.
Spoiler alert.
No.
Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing at this. But anyway, as we taxied to the terminal, I looked out the window and told him a crowd had gathered to meet him. He was seated in the center section and couldn't see out the window. When the plane reached the gate, we were told to remain in our seats. I saw the soldiers coming up the stairs of the jetway and told Ninoy they were coming to get him to take him back to prison, I assume.
Prison,
I assume. It was tense. Camera crews were standing on seats to take pictures. Everyone was training to see what was going on as the soldiers came down the aisle. As they led him away, I yelled, "Noy, I'm coming with you." He was supposed to tell the soldiers that he wanted his brother-in-law to accompany him. May tabasa ako somewhere else about the same thing. Na Ken Kashiwahara, prior to landing or even boarding in Taipei, sabi niya kay Ninoy na they would go together, like the whole time.
They go down together, ganun?
Yes. Kaya niya sinigaw yung Noy, "I'm coming with you." And he said that he was supposed to tell the soldiers that he wanted his brother-in-law to accompany him. Damn. He forgot. He turned back and said, "Yeah, come on." Those were the last words I heard him utter. I tried to follow, as did the journalists and photographers, but when we got into the jetway, the door to the tarmac was slammed shut and we were blocked. 9 seconds later, as we later calculated...
Wait.
Whoa.
So, before pa nakalabas si Ken...
Nakalabas wait, na so, si Ninoy.
Nakalabas na si Noy, tapos sinara yung door ng airplane?
Yeah.
Wow!
It's a pretty famous footage or video about what happened dun sa plane when they landed. You can search that even on YouTube. You can see everything there. Kasi parang sobrang daming journalists na nakaharang. I read somewhere when I was researching na Ninoy thought that having journalists with him is enough protection for him. Kasi everything would be documented, if ever. And it was.
It was.
Anyway, moving on. Ken Kashiwahara said, 9 seconds later, as we later calculated, I heard the first shot. followed by a fusillade of gunfire. I was horrified. I tried to push my way out the door to see what had happened, but was blocked again. Shaking with anger, I yelled some expletives. Ito yung sinabi ko sa'yo na if you watch that footage of the whole thing, you would hear someone say bastards, bastards. Yeah. God damn it, bastards, bastards, he said.
Uh-huh.
So apparently that was Ken Kashiwahara who was shouting, God damn it, bastards, bastards. So when I ran back into the plane, the faces of the journalists were ashen. Through the plane's window, they had seen Ninoy's bloody body on the tarmac. All they could say was, sorry. I knew he had been shot, but I refused to believe he was dead. I ran down the jetway to immigration, where there was a long line. I went to the front, saying, my brother-in-law has been shot. The passengers stepped aside, allowing me to go through. I was looking for my wife, Lupita, Ninoy's sister, who was in Manila to help prepare his arrival. When I found her, I just kept muttering, the bastard shot him. She took me to the VIP room where Ninoy's mother was waiting, along with leaders of the opposition. Mommy Aurora stared at me as if looking for some words of hope. I couldn't bring myself to tell her what happened. What followed is well chronicled. The hope for the country's future gunned down. The charisma, commitment, and courage lying bloodied on the tarmac. The man who came in peace, greeted by violent savagery. In the days that followed, I tried to make sense of what had happened. Ninoy had a vision and a plan for the peaceful restoration of democracy and had the leadership to fulfill it. I had never met a more engaging person, a more captivating speaker, or anyone more committed to the cause of justice. To me, his assassination was the waste of a talent that comes along once in a lifetime, all because of the arrogance of power, because a dictatorship thought it could get away with murder. Ninoy had been a political prisoner and in exile for nearly 11 years. During all that time, the country's controlled press virtually ignored him. So I had always wondered if he had been forgotten. Kaya, that was one of the reasons why Ninoy traveled with journalists. Para,
he thought he would be safe.
And, kasi nga, government controlled yung media that time. So, most likely, they would not cover it. It would be hushed, silenced. Diba? So yun.
Yeah.
Beginning on the night of August 21st, after Ninoy's body had been taken to his Quezon City house on Time Street to lie in state, people began lining up around the block to file past the casket in silent reverence, looking down at the bloodied face, at the hole in his shin where a single bullet had exited, at lips slightly upturned as if to smile in gratitude. They were boldly defying the rules of dictatorship by showing support for the dictator's number one critic. They were risking retribution from a regime that would not hesitate to exact it. They didn't care. They were angry. Sobra na, tama na. They had enough. Ninoy had not been forgotten. So yun. by the way, Ninoy was laid on the casket. He was still wearing the same shirt when he was shot. His face was not cleaned up. Nandun pa rin yung wound, the blood and everything. It was by his mother, Aurora Aquino. Siya yung may sabi nun.
Decision niya?
Siya yung may gusto nun. Sabi niya kasi, I want them to see what they did to my son.
It's like, it's not the same thing. But it kind of reminds me of when the JFK was shot.
Oh, yeah.
Tapos, si Jackie chose to wear kung ano yung suot niya.
sa Dallas.
At the time he was shot. Yeah. So like yung lahat ng blood sa suot niya at that time, everybody would see, just so everybody would be reminded na yun yung nangyari at the time that she was wearing this. Tapos parang parang a reminder lang sa tao that this happened.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminds me of that, na parang, oh, you shot my son.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what Aurora Aquino, his mother, this wanted. Happened. He wanted, she wanted everyone to see. Parang nilagay siya at the back of a truck. Tapos, they went to Santo Domingo Church for like a mass. And then going to Manila Memorial. Sobrang haba nun. They arrived at the Manila Memorial 9 PM. Kasi ang daming tao.
Like a whole day.
Ang daming tao ang lumabas to support. Kasi, I forgot kung saan ko ito nakita, pero the whole nation was shocked. Kasi it was, that thing was unimaginable for them. It was so...
That's the thing. Parang unimaginable sa'yo until it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
During that time, at least. So they were really shocked na ganun. So... Fingers are pointed at Marcos, of course. But up until now, unresolved pa rin yung case na to. Nobody knew who the gunman was and who gave the order. I don't know if Imelda will talk. Most likely not.
No. 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 Hindi siya magsasalita. Until she lives. As long as she lives, hindi siya magsasalita.
I know.
It's but, kind of, yeah, kasi parang nung pinatay si Kennedy, at least they got the gunman. Tapos, then nakausap nila.
It's interesting to note na after this happened, Marcos ordered an investigation for the whole thing. Pero, nandun na yun. I'm not gonna go into that right now. This is just all about the account of Ken Kashiwahara as he saw things. But yeah, it's a timely reminder, I think, for especially kakatapos lang on that day. Kasi parang for us right now, it's just another holiday, but it's important to understand bakit may holiday na ganito. And we cannot revise history no matter what we do. No matter what other families try to do.
We can't revise history, but we can learn from it. If
we should learn from it.
We choose to learn from it.
We should learn from it because we're seeing the same thing happening again. Right now.
Da!
And we should have learned back in 1986. 1983, 1986. We should have learned.
1986. That was more than 20 years ago now. Oh my god.
What? 1986? That's 34 years ago.
Tama ba? 1986, 96, 2006. Oh, sorry. More than 30 years ago na.
34. I was born in 1986.
Oh, sorry. Oh nga, 34.
That was 34. When the revolution happened. Pero Ninoy was killed in 1983.
Sweet, so you were... wait lang. May June, July, August. 3 months old! Baby! Barely.
No. No, the Edsa revolution happened in February.
Hindi, pero Ninoy was killed in August.
1983. The Edsa revolution was 1986.
So, you're 3 years old ka na.
No, cut I wasn't this. Born yet.
Let's just cut this na lang. Para.
No, it's fine. We're keeping this. Anyway, yeah. That was my story.
Pero, you were still born. Oh, you were still born noong time na yun.
On that year, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my story. No matter what you do, if you hate the Liberal Party or whatever, this happened. and you can't deny it, and you can't revise it. So there, we learn from it, okay? Uh-huh. Because we don't want that to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
that's the point of my story. I hope you enjoyed your holiday yesterday. So
yesterday.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
so
you
much for listening.
So much. This is thanks.
It's heavy, I know. It's heavy.
I hate to say anything after that, pero
yeah.
Imagine
nakainom ka na tapos you hear a story like that.
No, hindi ko kailangan ni imagine kasi nangyayari sa akin right now.
Anyway, if you
even though I know kung ano nangyayari before it, people just need to remember kung ano nangyayari, and
yeah, not just remember, but like,
think about what happened. Ikaw na bahala. What do you want to think about it? Kung ano nangyari. But whatever you think about it, I can't erase the fact na nangyari to.
Mm-hmm.
And those who learn, those who don't learn from history are doomed
to repeat it. Over and over until you learn.
Without sounding too political.
I want to sound too political.
All right.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you liked our what you heard and you'd like to comment about it, we're on social media at Historinoms on Twitter, Historinoms
yes,
Podcast on Facebook, and
Facebook.
Historinoms on Instagram, which wala pa rin laman. Anyway.
Lalagyan ko na lang. Ako ata yung in charge.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, yon. If you would like to, like, I don't know, send us a story or something.
Yeah, anything you want us to talk about next time.
Yeah.
Kung heavy,
we'll try our best.
kung heavy man or hindi, pag-usapan pa rin namin. Basta, just
we'll try our best.
We'll try our best.
We'll have different stuff every time.
Every time.
Some of them happy, some of them heavy.
Some of them, necessary.
Just like, they are. History is necessary.
Just like now. Happy Ninoy Aquino Day to anybody who's listening. But let's also
should we be not saying happy
Ninoy Aquino Day? I'm saying it in the sense na parang everybody, let's just all remember what happened and take that to heart. Na,
parang ano,
let's not forget what happened.
It's that thing na ano, parang lagi kong tinatanong yun na ano bang greeting kapag death anniversary?
Glory be. No.
Anyway,
basta, bye guys. Basta, guys, just read about that and just take whatever you can along to whatever you're reading.
Bye.
And bye. I guess bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening.